Today we are back doing another mock draft recap. Joining me as always on a Tuesday evening is Noah Rubin. A little bit later today, he was recording his own show. How rude. But we'll do it anyway. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King, your host at AdamKing91 on Twitter. Joining me, as always, as I said, a little bit late because he was caught up recording his own show. There's no off-season for us here at FBI. Noah, thanks for getting in a show before you go to bed.
Oh, Kingy, it's what, early mornings, late nights, middle of the day. It's always time to talk hoops. For me, I just finished the recording. We're doing a little bit of a, I'm calling it Dynasty Outlook just to have like a little clever name for a series, but just going through each position, talking about different, like the players that value in Dynasty, underrated, overrated, some sleepers, stuff like that. Just finished recording Shooting Guards with David Williams. That should be out in a day or two, so definitely be on the lookout for that. And obviously a ton more episodes coming up.
Yeah, a lot coming up from you, a lot coming up from me. And yeah, today we're going to go through the mock draft that we did last Friday, I think it was. I don't know. Who knows? That sounds about right. I've done a few of these already. So I've done one with DMAC from NBA Fantasy Bible. I've done one with Dan Titus. I did one with Steve from Menace Podman on his show this morning, so go and check that out if you want to watch the review of his team. And so we'll go through your team. I have something I prepared earlier. The draft board from the draft, you had pick two, so we'll start at the top. Were you in any way hoping that Wemby would fall to you at two?
Well, first, I just must commend you on your graphic design skills. If you were able to put this together earlier, this looks really great. I love the color coding. I mean, I was kind of hoping, I'm pretty sure that he had tweeted earlier in the day that he had the number one pick and was going to take Wemby.
He did.
Or should he? So I saw that. I was like, I just added Jokic to my queue. And like hours before, it was like, I'm not getting Wemby. That's fine. Jokic is cool. I'm happy with that. I'm not going to complain. But he did put up, I think it was a question saying, should I take Wemby or Jokic? And I think I voted Jokic. or if it was a poll, I voted Jokic. If it wasn't, I probably didn't comment. But I was hoping people voted Jokic so that I could get Wemby. But it's just a mock, so I need to relax. It doesn't matter all that much.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And I've said on the show with others that I think Jokic and Wemby are the consensus top two heading into next season. Yeah. Doncic and Shea are probably three and four. So I think they're the four. I think you could make a case for taking Shea at two or even Luka. But I think we're locked in for a top four. Then it becomes a bit of a crapshoot, depending on whether you want to go for per game upside or health, or there's a number of factors there. But pretty, I mean, the names that went off the board are sort of who we're expecting to see in that range. Giannis, yeah. Halliburton, Anthony Davis, Embiid, Tatum. And I said with Steve this morning on his show and with Dan the other day that I think I'm actually, if I don't get a top four pick this year, I actually want to pick near the turn, sort of towards that back end of the first round, because then you just sort of have a look at who's fallen to you at that range. And you then get a pick pretty early in the second round where you could get someone like a Donovan Mitchell or a Chet Holmgren or Anthony Edwards, these guys that are, I guess, potential first rounders. So you could end up with two first rounders quite easily. Whereas if you're picking at one, two, three, four, you obviously get that top end guy, but the talent sort of drops off a little bit at the back end of that second round, and you went with Maxey, Tyrese Maxey. What are your thoughts, I guess, on him, given the Paul George arrival? Does that sort of drop him a little bit on your draft board, or are you still pretty comfortable taking him here in the second round?
I'm still comfortable taking him here in the second round. I didn't love this pick. I was considering between him, LaMelo, De'Aaron Fox, DeJounte, so a lot of the guards that I was looking at, is what I was looking at here at the end of the second round. It looked like Devin Booker was going to slip all the way to me there for a second. And then obviously Eric Moody scooped him up a few picks before. I'm not too concerned about Paul George. I think, or Paul George's impact on Tyrese Maxey. I think Paul George is obviously an all NBA talent, very good, but he's an aging player that has a history of injuries. And he's also a guy that doesn't need the ball in his hands to have a ton of success. Like, he's a guy that can make an impact defensively. He's a guy that is a very good catch and shoot player. So obviously Paul George is going to have opportunities to have the basketball and create his own shot. But I don't think this is similar to when they added James Harden a couple of years ago. And it's like, okay, Tyrese Maxey's basically going from point guard to playing shooting guard, and he's not ball in his hands anymore. And it changes things. This is Tyrese Maxey has another fun weapon on the wing to pass to and to create space for Tyrese Maxey to blow by every defender that is put in front of him, because he's really freaking fast and really quick. So I think this opens up stuff for Tyrese Maxey, probably drops his uses just a tad, but I think it'll even itself out, and I'm expecting another very good season from Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah, I think the people's initial reaction when Paul George was traded there was, oh no, Tyrese Maxey is going to take a hit here, Embiid is going to take a hit here. But I think now that the dust has settled a bit, we're probably starting to move back towards, no, actually, I still think Tyrese is pretty safe here. It's sort of his team to some degree. Embiid will probably only play 50, 55 games anyway. Right. So yeah, no, I like Maxey here. And then you mentioned you were considering LaMelo Ball at that pick. You actually got LaMelo Ball coming back around with the second pick of the third round. He's someone that I'm high on, and I've, much to my detriment, I've been high on him in the last couple of years, and it's burned me a little bit because of total value. He just hasn't been healthy. And I'm actually doing an interview with Ben Pfeiffer, I think it's Pfeiffer, in the next couple of days. He's very high on LaMelo, I know that, and I'm looking forward to talking with him about LaMelo Ball. But what are you sort of, I mean, I guess, first of all, happy to get him in the third round, I assume, and what do you think? Can we trust him this year?
Those are two different things. I think he's a guy that we were taking in the first round last season because we know what kind of talent he is. Now he's had two straight seasons with ankle injuries. So basically, games played is the number one factor here, because when he's on the floor, he's awesome. And I don't think anybody that was in this mock draft would deny that. Nobody's letting him fall because he sucks. It's because we don't know how many games he's going to play. I think my thing with him is I'm just fully bought in on Matt Lawson's like point that he's been hammering home for his like months, is that if LaMelo Ball wears ankle braces and takes his health serious, then he'll able to play games because of that. Like, yeah, we're back in, we're LaMelo believers. But what Matt was telling me when he came on my podcast a few months ago to talk about the Hornets among a couple other teams, was that heading into last season, LaMelo said he was going to wear ankle braces and then ditched them pretty quickly. And then he injured his ankles a bunch. So if he comes into this season and is wearing ankle braces, then it's like, okay, he gets it. Like, he's going to try and do stuff to benefit him and keep himself on the floor. And obviously he's so talented that when he's on the floor, it's going to be awesome. So I was happy to take a player that good in the third round, because you mentioned getting a guy in that around the turn that could be a first round value. Like, yeah, LaMelo could be a first round value if he is healthy, or at least a second round value if he's healthy. And that the number one question obviously is games played, and you can't deny that, but I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I'm hopeful too. I'm hoping to land him around this spot in at least a couple of drafts this year. I'd like to have him just in case this is the season that he finally stays healthy. And Look, I get it. Ankle braces are not comfortable if you've ever played basketball and worn the big bulky ankle braces. I'm sure they're not as bulky as they were back in the Stone Age when I was playing, but they do restrict movement a little bit, or they used to. So we'll see. We'll see. I really hope he can stay healthy. Coming back to you, obviously a long wait for your next pick, but you went with Franz Wagner with the, 47th pick in the draft. So back into the fourth round. He was, what do we want to say he was last year? Let me have a look. He was 70th last year in nine cap. So you've taken him inside the top 50. Is this sort of taking him at his ceiling, do you think, or is there some room for him to potentially get you half a round or a round of value?
I think there is room for value. I don't think that him being 70th was necessarily indicative of how good he was last year, which I think you can, you know, kind of look at basically everybody's nine cap ranking to decide, okay, what category specifically. But he's a pretty well-rounded fantasy player. Doesn't really hurt you anywhere. Now, obviously didn't dominate a ton of categories, but I think everybody kind of knows what kind of talent he is, and I'm banking on him taking a step forward this season. I think that could be as high as like a third round value. But if I'm not getting a ton of value here, he's still just a guy I want on my team. I think he's a very talented player, and he's going to continue to get better every year. So I don't want to miss out on the Franz Wagner breakout season. So I was happy to get him at the end of the fourth. I did think Jalen Johnson was going to almost fall to me, but then Dan Tyus had the auto pick, but then Mike Waterloo told me, he said like that he wasn't getting past me anyway. So maybe feel a little bit better, but I'm still going to blame Dan because Mike wasn't the guy that actually took Jalen Johnson from me. It was Dan. I blame Dan, but happy with Franz Wagner.
No, I know I'm with you there. Let's blame Dan. and I'm sure he's okay with that as well. Then second pick of the fifth round, Darius Garland. So pretty disappointing last year. Finished outside the top 100.
I think just outside.
Just outside, I think it was. 108th in nine cap.
Yeah.
Look, I had him in a keeper league, and he wasn't the reason that I didn't win the league, but he was. He contributed to my lack of success. But I don't know. I still think he's got a top 50, top 40 player in him. Playing alongside Donovan Mitchell does cap his overall value a little bit because the ball's not in his hands as much. He was the guy before Mitchell got there, and his sort of trajectory was firmly pointed upwards. He sort of plateaued and even regressed in the last couple of years. I'm assuming taking him here where you took him, which is pick 50, you consider him a bit of a bounce back candidate this season.
I definitely don't think he's going to be as bad as he was last year because it was pretty awful. But I don't think that's just because he's all of a sudden a bad basketball player. Because in his first season with Donovan Mitchell, his numbers went down just a tad from the year before, which was his breakout all-star season. I don't see why he can't just kind of improve on his field goal percentage, just get it back up to about 46%. It was at 44.5% this past season. His assists dropped by about almost one and a half. I don't see why he can't get that back up. The points dropped by 3. I don't see why he can't. Like, he had a bad shooting season, and I think it also just kind of impacted all parts of his game. But he's not he's good with the ball in his hands. I don't think that he's like a Trae Young, where it's like he has to have the ball in his hands to be good at basketball, and he's not really doing much on offense if he's not, or if he doesn't have the ball in his hands. So I think playing another season alongside Donovan Mitchell, I don't think it's just going to make him worse. I think he will definitely be better. Can he get back to being a top 50 guy like he was two seasons ago? That's kind of what I'm banking on. But also here, it was just partially about team build. I feel very strongly about my team's assists between Jokic, Maxi, LaMelo, and Darius Garland. So it's kind of buying into that a little bit. And yeah, Garland's a guy that can be significantly better than, I wouldn't be shocked if he was able to have the best season of his career, even if it is alongside Donovan Mitchell and it's not ideal. I could see him just like, he's going to continue to get better. Like, he's still young and he's already shown us a good bit. So he's not going to be outside the top 100 again. And this is me banking on him being back inside the top 50.
Yeah, I think, and if you remember back last year, he had a couple of injuries, and they were face, head, neck related injuries.
He got hit like five times this
year. Yeah, it was, and so that. Had to. I mean, he played 55 games or
57
or something. 57. So he missed 25 games. But I think you have to look at this as more of a season where he was healthy and played 40 games, maybe 45. Because coming back from those injuries is a little bit tricky. There's a confidence sort of thing. Like, do I want to drive it in and risk getting hit again? Because it happened multiple times. So I think there were a few factors. Conditioning. I don't think it was as bad as it appeared on the surface. And when you dig into his box scores and things like that, he did have stretches where he looked like the Darius Garland of 2-3 years ago. So, I like him here in the fifth round. OG Anunoby was your next pick, 11th pick of the sixth round. With Dan, I was talking about this, and we were a little bit maybe, I don't know if down on Anunoby this season is the right phrasing, but just with all the talent they've got there around him, offensively he's not really going to be called on to do a lot. He's more of a spot-up shooter now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really you're relying on those defensive stats for him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what's your thought process here sort of taking Anunoby in the sixth round?
I mean, part of it was the defensive stats and just looking at it and then saying, I don't have a ton of steals in my first five picks. Let me get somebody that can at least get some steals. That way I'm not, because I wasn't like looking to fully punt really anything. I was just trying to doing a mock draft. So I was like, well, sure. Like, let me try and get a guy that can get some steals and has been able to have some really, really good fantasy seasons over the last few years. I know that the situation is going to be kind of dicey for basically everybody on the team just because there are so many freaking talented players on this team. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this is still Tom Thibodeau. It wouldn't shock me if OG Anunoby was still playing 34, 35 minutes per game if he's really locking in on defense and that's what they need. So it wasn't quite as good last year. And when he got to New York, the numbers, I mean, he didn't see a ton of games in the regular season because of various injuries after the trade, but he was really, really good. So I'm fine getting him in the middle of this draft.
Yeah, and I think the playing time will be there. We saw he sort of turned into one of those guys a little bit where his real life value outweighs his fantasy value because his impact on the court with the Knicks was, you could see it. It was obvious. So he'll be on the court as long as he's healthy. And then you've gone with Onyeka Okongwu, second pick of the seventh round. He's one of the fantasy assets that we've sort of all been waiting for the breakout and waiting for the Clint Capela trade. You're an Atlanta person, an Atlanta fan. Have you drafted this assuming that maybe it is his time and Capela is going to take a step back or be traded or something, or are you confident that even in a backup role, Okongwu could get to this point in terms of value?
No, I drafted him with the assumption that he's going to be the starter. I think it's reading, I mean, it's not really reports saying what Quinn Snyder's thinking or anything like that, but a lot of either beat reporters, like Hawks content creators, just are kind of saying like, hey, it seemed like I think Okongwu should start. And I think it's obviously we've been wanting it for like 3 years for selfish fantasy purposes. But I really do think that this is kind of like the year where that actually happens. And so I think he's obviously better offensively than Clint Capela, can do a little bit more. He's probably not quite as good of a rebounder or defender as Clint Capela, at least has been at times. Obviously Capela's aging. It's not quite the same player he was, but I really do think that this is going to be the year that Okongwu just full on is the starter from the beginning. Now, does that mean he's playing 35 minutes per game? No. This is probably closer to like a 30, maybe at best 32 minutes per game kind of guy. But we've seen what he can do in limited action. I'm excited to see what he can do as the full-time starter in this new Hawks lineup that they're sort of building out, which, yeah, I think it's, I wanted to get Okongwu the year that he's actually going to break out. Like this is the year. And when we do another mock 1 year from now and he didn't start all freaking season, I will be taking Okongwu again. And I'm going to be screaming that this is the year he's going to be starting.
Yeah, Atlanta don't like to do things in a hurry, do they? They like to wait, bide their time for whatever reason before they make a trade or let someone go. So, yeah, look, I'm with you there. I hope he can start. And, gee, I mean, it's sort of it's really untapped as to what he could possibly do in 30 minutes a night, because we've never seen it on a consistent basis. But if you go back 2 years, he was top 80 in 23 minutes a night. Last year took a little bit of a step back in some of his sort of production, but he was injured as well. So he, much like Darius Garland, he only played 55 games. So conditioning, all that sort of stuff, you factor that in. So, yeah, look, I think if he's healthy and playing, even if it's the timeshare, if he's 24 minutes, 25, he can be a top 80 player. We've seen it in the past. So if he starts and if he plays 28 to 30, top 50 is certainly within reach. So, yeah, it is a little bit of a sort of a drafting based on what might happen, but it's safe enough that I think you could take him here and not be too concerned. On the other end of that spectrum, you went with Chris Middleton with your next pick, who is very proven. We know what he can do when he's healthy, but he just hasn't been healthy the last few years. He's getting older. What did you get him here? Pick back into the eighth round. So that's the 90s, early 90s, something like that.
Late 80s.
Yeah. So for a guy that we know can be, I don't think he can be top 30 anymore, but I think he could be top 60 if healthy. Relatively safe pick, would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I was going for, because I did feel like I probably reached a little bit on Okongwu, but he was like just a guy I believe in. I want to make sure I get him. So I was like, okay, if I was in a real draft, if I made a reach, the next round I would come back and do a safe pick. What's good value here? Middleton at 95, I'm pretty happy about, because we've seen what he can do when he's healthy. We've seen him be not healthy the past 2 years. We also heard that he had like procedures on both ankles this summer. If I'm not mistaken, that's what it was. So I'm hoping that means that he'll be healthy entering this upcoming season. Now, is he still going to have probably some sort of minutes restriction, maybe miss some back-to-backs? Sure. But I think at 95, like taking him there, like I'm happy about that. I think he's too talented when he's on the court to let him slip much further past that. And I mean, there's a number of other guys that have injury histories that go significantly earlier than Middleton. So I'm hoping that he can be better than he has been the last 2 years, more available than he has been the past 2 years. That's why I was fine to take him there.
Dan Gafford, second pick of the ninth round. Now we had a chat with Dan, I think it was, about the Derek Lively, Dan Gafford minute split, their respective roles, who will start. If you look at the back end of last year, it really doesn't clear things up, because they would often rotate their starters. And so I tend to think they probably start Lively, just because I think he's the younger guy. They drafted him. But that's not to say Gafford won't have a significant role. So why I guess here, because you took Gafford and then Lively went five picks later, were you sort of looking at both of those guys and Gafford was your preference?
No, it was that I was looking at MPJ and thought he was going to be there. And then I got on the clock with nobody else in my queue left except Dyson Daniels. And it's like, huh, all this planning I did before we started this month, it's kind of gone out the window. Dan Gafford's here. I have not drafted, I mean, aside from Okongwu, like I haven't drafted a shot blocker. Let me get somebody that can block some shots. And then like seeing the few guys that went after, I was kind of like, yeah, maybe they would have been a little bit better. So this was probably my least favorite pick of the draft. I'm like, just from a fantasy / fan perspective, I hope they start Lively, because I like to see if it's close, let's just defer the younger guy that we just drafted in the first round last year and see how much better he can get. So hopefully that's what'll happen. I do think it'll be kind of a minute split that kind of limits both, but they are still able to provide value in a few categories. I probably would prefer Lively, just looking back at it, but I don't think that Gafford's a guy that's like, oh, I took him in the ninth round. Like, what a horrible pick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I agree. Lively over Gafford, probably.
Yeah, and I'd like to see, I think maybe Lively 26 minutes, Gafford 22, something like that. Gafford's a little bigger size-wise, so I think they may use him against some of the, like an Embiid or a Jokic or something. They may go with Gafford. He's just got a bit more. He's older. He's been in the league a bit longer. But I actually don't think Gafford, I don't know. A lot of these players, fringe sort of starters, I think are actually better suited to a 20 to 22 minute role. I feel like they can confidently just go out there, throw their body around. Gafford doesn't typically miss a lot of time due to injury, but he often hurts himself. He's always off to the locker room with an ankle, but then he returns, or he sort of looks like he's down and then he plays the next game. And I just think if you were to try and push him to 30, 32 minutes a night regularly, that may turn, those injuries might turn into more than just a missed half of basketball. So I think, yeah, I agree. I would go Lively here over Gafford. But Gafford in 22 minutes, his floor is safe enough that he's probably still a top 100 player. So, so after him, 10th round, all the way back to you, you went with Brandon Podziemski, probably going to start, I would say, in Golden State. We saw flashes last year. He was a bit, his role was a bit up and down. He was starting, then he was off the bench. But Clay is gone. I think it's his spot to lose. I think he'll get first crack. They've obviously got Buddy Hield there now. Gary Payton's still there. Kyle Anderson is there. So they have added some depth, but I think it'll be Podziemski's spot on opening night. How confident are you that he can sort of hold that spot and turn in a good fantasy season?
Well, I have full confidence until I actually just did this podcast with David. And we were talking, because I had Podziemski as one of my underrated shooting guards. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, no, I really think he's going to start. Klay Thompson's gone. Like, he started some last year. I think it's his spot to lose. I'm not too worried about the Anthony Melton and Buddy Hield. I was a little bit worried when they added them, but I think Podziemski's a starter and they're going to be backups to play a significant role. And he was like, yeah, but Steve Kerr will switch his lineup. It doesn't really matter. Like, he doesn't, like, as you proved last year, like, he'll basically swap in everybody except Steph in and out of the starting lineup. So I was like, yeah, no, that's a very fair point. He's probably, I'm more concerned about Steve Kerr than I am about the Anthony Melton, but Hield. I really do think Podziemski is going to start. I think it's going to end up being a very good value. I said, like, when we were talking about the Dan Gafford pick, that I had nobody in my queue but Dyson Daniels. I did have Podziemski in my queue. I can't remember if I had Trace Jackson Davis in my queue as well, but I definitely, when I was setting up my queue before the draft, I was like, I want to get Podziemski and I want to get Dyson Daniels, which we'll get into, but. Yeah, I feel like the upside is tremendous there, and it's a pretty safe floor for the 10th round.
And you just alluded to it, Trace Jackson Davis with your with the second pick in the 11th round. Again, probably the starting center in Golden State. We saw flashes last year, much like we did with Podziemski. His role changed a bit, but I would hope now, as you said, it's Steve Kerr, so we don't know, but common sense would say let's roll out the young guy. He's a really good rim runner, plays above the rim, a little bit undersized, I think, defensively. He's not your typical rim protector like an Anthony Davis or a Wemby or even Gafford, but finds a way to get some defensive stuff. So I guess much like Podziemski, is your concern here more around the coach and the decision-making than Trace Jackson Davis's ability to be a meaningful fantasy asset?
It is. I think I saw some tweets saying that the lineup or starting lineup might actually be Draymond at the five and Jonathan King at the four, with Wiggins at the three, which would, you know, I mean, I still think Trace Jackson Davis, even if he's coming off the bench, is still going to play 20, 25 minutes per game when they play against legit centers like your Jokic's, your Embiid. you're going to have to play him more because as good of a defender as Draymond is, like Joel Embiid draws fouls. If nobody knew this, like he's pretty good at that whole drawing fouls thing. So if Draymond gets in foul trouble, then you have to have Trayce Jackson-Davis playing a ton of minutes. So he's a guy that can block shots, rebound, shoot a high field goal percentage, traditional center. I got Gafford and Okongwu, and those are the guys getting my traditional center set. So I was like, I'll go for that. I think there's a chance he starts, or at least is a part-time starter, and is pretty good at some things that I need. So I was happy with that. I was deciding between him and Jeremy Grant, so it made me feel a little bit better that Mike went with Jeremy Grant that next pick. Because I was like, so it wouldn't have been bad if I went with that either.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see the Warriors, their lineup finally looks like it's going to change and lean into the youth a little bit more. So we'll see if Steve Kerr makes that decision, but then also sticks to that decision rather than going, okay, you guys are out, someone else is in. Your final pick, who you've mentioned a couple of times, and we could do a whole show on this guy, Dyson Daniels, who joins your Hawks this season, part of that DeJounte Murray trade. And I think initially people were like, I don't know what his role is going to be. Is he going to start? What can he do? Anyone that's watched the Olympics has probably seen what he can do, especially on the defensive end. He's been very good defensively. Offensively, I think he's looked pretty good. He had 10 points in our loss to Canada last night. Second half was not good. Last quarter was atrocious. But in the first half, I thought he looked good. He was attacking the rim. Athletically, he's really good. He can get rebounds out of position. So I think to get him here, I think with the hype, well, I'm going to be hyping him, and if others are going to hype him as well, I feel like his ADP will push up maybe inside the top 100. I don't know if he'll get that high, but...
Don't do that, King. Don't do that to me. I liked getting him in round 12.
I'd love to get him in round 12. I'd probably go... if I'm just looking at some of the names, around 8, I don't know.
Would you take him over Kostas Antetokounmpo?
It's close, but I think I would. I'm just looking up sort of in the 7th, 8th round here. Would I take him above Herb Jones? Yep. Would I take him ahead of – I mean, it depends on your need as well, because if you need points – Dyson Daniels, he's not going to be a high volume scorer. He might be 12.
You take him over 30. Herb Jones, really?
I would, yeah.
Is that you being a homer at all, or is that like?
I like Herb Jones. I just think Dyson can do more. He can get steals, but he's a good passer. Both of them can hit threes. I think Dyson's ability to get to the rim is a little bit underrated. Yeah, so look, maybe it is a bit of a homer pick as well, but
I mean, I'm for it.
Yeah, look, I just think he could be really good if they give him the starting role and if they let him play 30 minutes a night, and that still remains a question mark. So I think he would need to be in a starter's role, playing starter's minutes. But I just think he complements Trae Young quite well, playing alongside him. So I don't know. Do you think that he starts and gets those minutes, or is he going to, are they going to start Bogdan Bogdanovic or something like that?
I think it would be smartest to start Dyson Daniels. I think he's a guy that doesn't need the ball in his hands a ton, but is good with the ball in his hands. And obviously what they need him out there for is defense. And if you watch the Olympics at all, like, you're immediately noticing the defense. Now, the game against Canada, I only watched the second half and I was like, He just keeps turning the ball over. And then I saw tweets about him having a rough second half with some of the passing. And I was like, okay, so it wasn't just me that thought it, and it wasn't just like a typical thing. So I was like, cool. But we just need to tell everybody to watch the second half and just like, this guy stinks. That way we can get him this late game. You're talking about taking him to the top 100, and it's July. When it gets down to actual draft time, we're going to have to get the top 50 or something. But no, I think he's had tremendous upside through the game to the league, but it was just – there's too much talent in New Orleans for him to see a ton of minutes consistently. Mm-hmm. And I think this is just such a golden opportunity for him. When the trade initially happened, I was texting my friends that are Hawks fans. I was like, I hate this value back for DeJounte, but I do like Dyson Daniels. And now every, like, pretty much over the past however long it's been since that trade happened, I've, like, really talked myself into, okay, I see what the Hawks are doing. I think that this is actually, like, a pretty good direction for them. Like, Dyson Daniels is a guy that has a ton of upside, but even if he doesn't, like, fully pan out into what I think he can be, him as a defender is going to be so valuable for the Hawks, because they really haven't had a ton of perimeter defense around Trae Young since they drafted him. Like, they had Nate Mills experiment bringing in both the non-Drew Holiday brothers just as guys that can play defense. Obviously, they trade for DeJounte with the hopes that he's going to be a lockdown defender. He just wasn't as good of a defender with the Hawks as he was with the Spurs for whatever reason. Hopefully, he'll go back to that in New Orleans. But I think Dyson Daniels is going to be the best defender that Trae Young has played with. And that's also playing alongside Trae Young, I think, is going to open up stuff for Dyson Daniels, because it doesn't really matter who Trae Young has played with. The offense has always been great. He's always been an offensive, like, machine by himself. So I think that'll help Dyson Daniels on offense play alongside Trae. I think it'll help the team having Dyson Daniels on defense. Match made in heaven. And, you know, I was, before we started this, I was like, okay, Dyson Daniels is going to be my late round dart throw. And you're right. Over the next 2 months, as we do more mocks, I'm going to have to slowly start taking a round earlier. I'm hoping he's like a round 10, maybe round 9 guy. I hope he doesn't push up into the top 100, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And I think, I mean, yeah, part of it is just me wanting to see Dyson on the floor. But I think that having him on the floor almost justifies starting Okongwu over Capella, because I think at the moment Capella is no threat from outside, what, 3 feet? Like, there's no threat at all. So he blocks up the middle.
He's not a threat from inside 3 feet. Let's be clear. He's only a threat when he's placing the ball right in the rim, when he starts doing his hook shots and his layup.
That's right. And Okongwu is by no means a guy who's going to spread the floor, but he has a jump shot. He at least can clear that paint out a bit, which I think, as we've seen with Dyson Daniels, I think that will give him a bit of room to move to attack the basket. I really like this as a last round pick. And I don't know how high he will go, but I think he will. I don't think he'll be available in the last round of a lot of drafts. Maybe 9 or 10 in that 100 to 120 range, depending on who you're drafting with. If it's knowledgeable people that listen to us, then you might have to go a bit higher. But, time will tell. But, no, look, overall, I think your team was good. I mean, were you happy with your build? Anything you sort of – you look at your squad there and go, oh, I probably should have got these a bit earlier, or I've overcompensated in certain areas?
I wasn't fully trying to punt anything at first. I was like, maybe I'll kind of punt blocks, and then I was like, well, I'll get a Okongwu, so maybe I just won't fully punt anything. I was happy to get, I think, the first 3 rounds I was very happy. I liked my round 4 and 5 picks. Was like, I felt like OG was good value, but I think now that we've talked about it a little bit, I'm like, oh, maybe it wasn't as good a value as I thought. I liked reaching for Okongwu. I really just, like, I think it was a few of my later round picks, specifically Dan Gafford, I just wasn't super thrilled about. But as far as, I guess, looking for individual categories, I don't think I leaned into anything hard enough for me to be upset about where I went. Things. I guess back to something you said right at the beginning, I do think it's a clear top 4. If I had pick 5, I do think I would probably go Tyrese Halliburton and be very happy with that. And then after that is where it would, to me, it's like I have no idea who I would take at 6.
Yeah.
But I do think that the turn should be pretty interesting as well. I feel like that's the case every year, though. It's like round 6 or picks 6 through 8-ish, like kind of around there, generally kind of sucks. But I don't know. Maybe we just all hate not having 2 picks kind of close next to each other and hate picking in the middle of the round. Maybe that's the thing.
Yeah, look, maybe it is. I think I'd have Halliburton at 5 there at the top. I'm pretty comfortable taking Anthony Davis in that sort of 6, 7, 8 range this season. I know there's been some injury stuff in the past, but he looked healthy last year. And I just think that if the Lakers want to win, which the Lakers always want to win, and they need to make the most of LeBron. I mean, who knows if he's ever going to retire, but at some point you would think he's got to start regressing. So, but I think Anthony Davis really needs to take ownership of this team a little bit, and he's been really good in the FIBA stuff, in the warm-ups and the Olympics. And so I think he'll come into next season, hopefully with that mindset of this is almost my team now. So I'm comfortable with Anthony Davis there. I'd like, I'd definitely take him over Embiid, 100%. And then Tatum, I still think I like Tatum in that top eight range, even though he doesn't probably have the upside of some of these other guys around him. He's generally pretty healthy. So until he gets injured, which will happen at some point, I just think his total value, he's always a top, sort of top eight, top six player based on games played. So, no, it is going to be interesting, the middle of that first round and then picking on the turn is something I think I would be more than okay with. And I think that's enough. I think it's pretty late for you there. And I'm going to go and have some lunch. So, as you said, you've got stuff coming up. Where can people find you? What's on the agenda for you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at NoRubin22. A lot of episodes of the Tank Me Later podcast coming up. Going to go through the rest of the positions, do some dynasty mocks. I do have another fun little series that I'm going to hopefully do next month and have some guests on for that I think will be pretty fun, pretty unique. So, yeah, the rest of the summer should be a lot of fun, hopefully a lot of episodes. That way when we get to the season, it'll just be like one a week and it'll be a little bit slower, but a lot of fun left to be had.
There is, so yeah, check out Noah at NoahRubin22. Follow us at FBI Basketball on Twitter. And yeah, I've got obviously just, we'll have our weekly shows coming up and my other weekly shows will be starting to ramp up in the next month. And analyst interviews. I think we've only released one officially, but I know I've recorded 13 or 14 of them, and there's about another five or six to come. So there should be 20. We were going to release two a week, but I think we're going to do three a week. Otherwise, it's going to take us right up to draft season, and we want to be able to do some new content then. So lots of interviews coming up. Draft-only leagues are still being released by B-Dub. He's trying to get me into one. so he keeps messaging me the link and I'm busy. So I will be jumping in one of those. And, yeah, hit him up if you do want to join. I think he'll just keep creating them until people don't want them anymore, but they only take 5 minutes to fill up. So, yeah, still plenty of interest. But they are there. Head over to Discord. The link to our Discord server is in my bio. Please like and subscribe. Give this episode a thumbs up. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you consume your podcast content. Thank you, Noah, for staying up late and jumping on with me. We'll be back next week. I don't know what time. We'll figure that out. It might be early. It might be late. But 'tis the off season. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.